In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a junior doctor in Newcastle, I should say for those whose geography gets a bit hazy north of Peterborough, Newcastle's a city not far from Scotland, I had the privilege of meeting a patient called John. John was then in his late 70s and had been a miner all his life. And like many of his generation, had been a lifelong smoker. Now, John's results were in, and it was clear that he had terminal lung cancer. Now, because I'd got to know John quite well, it was decided that I should break this news to him. And I was terrified, partly because I looked about 12, and secondly, because I'd never ever told anyone before that they were about to die. So after we'd sort of exchanged the usual pleasantries, I sat by John's bed and I said, "John, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. I'm sorry to say you have lung cancer." And I'll never forget the look of intense relief that spread over his face. Completely bemused by this, I was, before I clumsily stumbled on to tell him, "Had you heard me properly?" He said in his beautiful, thick, Geordie accent, "Aye, Pet, I thought you was going to tell me I had TB." You see, John wasn't, like most of us, afraid of cancer. What John was afraid of was the disease that had killed his mother and five of his six siblings, tuberculosis, TB. So why am I telling about this? Why am I telling about John? Indeed, why does John stick in my mind as compared to the thousands of other patients I've seen over the years? I think it's because John's reaction, for me, is the future of medicine. You see, we focus on the treatment of disease and not on the removal of fear. And for me, the future of medicine is about removing the fear of disease. Many of you will be aware that the most common command in the Bible is "fear not." Cancer Research UK, not a religious organization, but one that funds my research and some individuals in the chapel tonight perhaps, their vision statement says that they want to create a world free from the fear of cancer. But don't we already do that as doctors? Don't we create a world that's free of fear? Actually, we don't. I wasn't trained to do that, and actually we still don't train doctors to do that. Medicine is largely reactive. We wait until there is a lump in the breast, till there's blood in the toilet, until there's a persistent cough or that tremor when you're trying to drink your coffee. And for most patients, that's just too late. And so John teaches us that the future of medicine is the removal of fear. And the psalmist gives us an idea of that. I'm sure when David wrote this psalm, he was aware that there were wolves lurking out in the shadows, lions with huge teeth and fangs, pits for sheep to fall in, and droughts to suffer. But he never mentions them. What David says in the second verse is, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul," or in more modern translations, "renews my strength." He doesn't say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leaps buildings in a single bound, destroys wolves and tears bears apart." No, what the shepherd is focused on is the well-being and the health of the sheep, rather than reacting to wolves in their midst. You see, medicine and its future lies not in reacting to disease, not in trying to deal with the fire once it's ravaging through the house, but to be far more like a smoke alarm. to understand, to predict well in advance of diseases. It's about establishing and maintaining health. So how are we going to do that? Well, actually, we are starting to do that. There is a revolution in healthcare, whether you're a cardiologist or a respiratory physician, or a children's cancer doctor like me, or an oncologist, whatever it is you do, there has been a revolution in the way we think about disease, moving less from treating aggressive disease to early intervention, to early detection. Why is that? I'm going to give you some statistics. 130,000 people in this country will die of cancer this year. It'll cost the country about £18 billion in healthcare costs. Now, those stats are sort of a bit divorced, they're a bit sort of separate from us, a bit abstract. So turn to your neighbour and have a look at your neighbour. One of you will get cancer, statistically speaking, and you have a 50-50 chance of dying of the disease. Now, before we get too sort of morbid about that, there is hope. And that lies, I think, in the future of medicine. And the psalmist has something to say about that again. At the end of verse 4, the psalmist refers to the fact that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I'm sure the staff and the rod were used to poke the odd lion and bear, but actually what they were mainly used for was to understand the way ahead. Was this stream shallow enough for the sheep to cross? Is this path strong enough to take me and a couple of hundred sheep? That's what the staff and the rod were for, largely. And in that way, that is what early detection does, and there is real hope in it. In this city, there are physicists, chemists, engineers, mathematicians working on cancer, working on neurological disorders, working on immunological problems. And they're identifying disease before you even know it, you've got it. For example, finding fragments of tumor cells that float around your blood decades before you even develop the disease. Or using special endoscopes, the kind of telescopes we put in people's bowels, not for fun, but actually to try and make a diagnosis. And when you look now at the covering, the lining, the epithelium of the intestine, your eyes can now see cancer cells that were previously invisible because of tuning lasers. And the reason why that's important is you can intervene at a time when the patient doesn't know they have cancer. You can treat it effectively and you can cure them for a fraction of the cost, eating away at that £18 billion. So actually, if we were to diagnose, which the long-term plan for cancer has in this country, 75% of patients at that early stage, more than 80% of them won't survive. Now that is removing the fear of cancer. And it's echoed across many diseases. Ah, but I hear you say sort of that's okay, but we've heard about screening before. What about those people who don't get screened or sort of slip through the cracks or actually do present with disease because they don't go to screening? What about them? Well, the psalmist tells us about that person as well, because in verse 4 he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What strikes me about that verse is it's deeply personal. It's me and the relationship with the shepherd, in this case the psalmist and the relationship with his God. The reason he didn't fear is because the shepherd, his God, knew him intimately. He knew what he needed and why he needed it at the correct time. And that's the second future of medicine, precision medicine. When I trained in medicine, everybody basically got the same treatment. It wasn't just because it was Newcastle. But now we have the capacity to understand everybody's disease in great detail. What every single cell is saying, how it's talking to the cell next door, what the mutations are in the cell, how the cells are positioned and how they change over time. And that creates a unique cloud for each patient and how it changes over time. And what that means is we can give each patient the right treatment at the right time. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount. In fact, Jean Abraham in this college has used that very approach to discover a new treatment for women with breast cancer, triple negative breast cancer. Previously a devastating disease, now a curable therapy. Fantastically exciting. My own work with kiddies with cancer is building children in a computer, completely computerized children that develop cancer that we can treat in a computer to devise what the right treatment is before it even has to touch and damage a child. That is removing the fear of disease and the fear of cancer. So if we could detect it early and treat patients precisely and have that relationship with them, then we can walk by those still waters and dwell in those green meadows. You might say, yeah, we've heard all this on the news. You know, you get this sort of exciting story, and then people say, yeah, but in 10 years' time, this might hit the clinic. What's remarkable is if John was diagnosed today, he wouldn't have the few short weeks that he had. He'd have months and probably likely years. And that is removing the fear of disease. And that is the future of medicine. Amen.